Manhunt. The clue of the masked murderer whose deadly work led to Manhunt. No crime has been committed yet. No murder has been done yet. No manhunt has begun yet.
But I don't understand. Why are you here? Who are you? Why are you wearing that mask?
Because I am taking no chances this time, Donald Lee. 15 years ago, you were on the jury which sentenced me to be hanged. My sentence was commuted through no fault of yours. Now it's my turn to make you pay.
But why me? Why?
The others will come later, one by one. Now, feel my fingers around your neck.
Choking me.
I almost felt the rope there. My fingers are softer, I promise you. But just as deadly. There.
A human being lies lifeless on the floor, his murderer safe from recognition behind his mask. Who will tear off that mask and reveal the killer's countenance? Who will start the manhunt? Manhunt and the clue of the masked murderer.
Hey, Ronnie. Bruce Stevens got here yet?
No, sir, but I'm on my way down to the ground floor. I'll watch for him, Sergeant Morton.
Watch for him, he said. Go get him. He won't stay in the police laboratory where he belongs. When I sent for him, he's missing.
Oh, no, he's not, Bill. Here he is, in person.
In person, he says. What do you think I expect, a movie? Listen, Drew, we got a call at homicide early this afternoon. It said a body, a dead body, to be found in apartment 8G at this address sometime tonight.
Well, why don't we open the door and see if it's there?
I looked 10 minutes ago. There's nothing there. I got cops all over the building, on every floor, at the elevator, on the stairways, everywhere. And nobody has come near here with anything that looks like a dead body.
All right, so I didn't miss anything. It's the apartment right here, huh?
Yeah, but nobody could have put anything in it since we've been here.
Mind if I look?
Mind if I look, he says. Go ahead, the door isn't locked. I'll wait here.
Okay, I just want to see the room. Hey, it's dark in here, Bill. Where's the light switch?
Fine, detective. Can't even find the light. Right next to the door.
Oh yeah, I got it. So this is the empty room you were talking about, huh, Bill? What makes you so sure it's empty?
All right, so tell the joke. What's in it? With you around, it could be almost anything. Except nobody could have brought a corpse in.
Got that wrong, Bill. Come here. With you around, somebody did bring a corpse in.
Huh?
Yeah. What else is that on the floor but a dead body?
A dead body? What? Hey, Murphy, Flanagan, Kelly,
yes,
this way.
Yes, sir.
Murphy, find out who's got the apartment next to this.
Yes, sir.
Kelly,
yes.
Take the other side. Yes, Flanagan, sir. Check the cop on the stairway leading to the roof and see if anybody passed him. Then check the roof. Get going.
Right.
Now, look, Bill. That building across the court. There's a window facing this room.
Hey, Taylor. Find out who's in the apartment in the next building that faces this window. Hop to it.
Yes, sir.
I wonder who the dead guy is.
Never mind that. How did he get in here? That's what gets me. I'll send for the medical examiner and the photographers. Then we'll try and identify him. I want this room just as it is when they get here. So you come on out in the hall, Drew.
Okay. I wouldn't have touched anything anyway, but let's go.
What do you think of this case, Drew? It's ridiculous. On account of it, couldn't have happened.
Well, it looks that way, Bill. There's no fire escape at the window, so even though the window was open, that doesn't mean a thing.
Doesn't mean a thing, he says. Tell me something that does mean something. I tell you, nobody could have been put in that room. It's impossible.
Sergeant Morton, there's nobody home in the apartment on this side of the room. Use my skeleton key.
First down, 10 yards to go.
And nobody home in the apartment on the left either, sir. We checked, it's not a soul in sight. Nobody passed Casey on the stairs, Sergeant Morton. Not only that, but nobody on the roof either.
Well, all that has to happen is that there's nobody in the apartment across the court, and I'll agree that the thing's impossible.
Excuse me, sir, but I just came from that apartment. There's somebody home there, but they're okay people.
Listen, I'm the guy who judges whether people are okay or not, not you. Somebody's home there, huh? Well, we're booking whoever it is. I'm going to do it myself.
Okay, Sergeant Morton, but don't say I didn't tell you.
You see, the apartment across the court is occupied by the police commissioner himself.
Who cares? We'll run him in, too. What's that? The commissioner.
I think I'm going to have another look at apartment 8G, though. Okay?
Go ahead.
Thanks,
he says. What a mess. All I know is nobody could have brought a body into that room.
Hey, Bill.
Now what? Don't tell me there isn't a dead body in there.
There isn't a dead body in here, Bill. Here, take a look for yourself. There's two dead bodies.
Who's that? Who's raising that skylight? Answer me or I'll fire. Who's there? Okay, whoever you are, I warned you. Is that you?
Of course it's me.
Can you hurt? Did I hit you?
Oh, I don't think so. No. No, I'm all right.
Why didn't you say who you were when I called? And what in the world are you doing here on this roof?
Your voice sounded strange, Drew, and I was scared. And where else should a good secretary be but with her boss?
What do you know about what good secretaries do, Cherub?
Well, Bill Morton said you were up on the roof of the building next to the one in which those two bodies were found. So I came up. Tell me about this case, Drew.
Nothing to tell, Pat. We don't know a thing except that a couple of invisible corpses must have walked through an army of police and took shape when they laid down in apartment 8G.
Mm-hmm.
I got this roof light.
It's kind of dark up here. Glad I brought this flashlight along. Say, what's that over there?
Oh, over in the corner?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just kind of a children's playground. Seesaw, swings, slides, and assorted stuff.
Oh, let's go over. I haven't been on a swing since I was 10.
What a memory. All right, let's go over and sit on that double swing. I can think out loud, and maybe you can find a missing part in this puzzle.
Okay, let's.
You see, Pat, we identified the two bodies we found. One of the men was a millionaire, and the other a Bowery bum. Apparently, no connection between the two, but there must be some connection.
Are they about the same age?
Oh, 15 years different. And from what we know of their lives, one of them always had money, and the other, well, he worked odd jobs till he hit the Bowery a couple of years ago. No link at all. Come on, sit here.
This is fun, sitting up here in the dark on a swing with you, Drew.
I'm not thinking of fun, Pat. I'm thinking of an absolutely ridiculous situation. One that couldn't happen, but did. In addition to how the bodies finally turned up in 8G, I want to know why two men who couldn't possibly have known each other were killed by the same murderer.
Well, maybe the bodies were thrown from this roof across the court through the window.
Pat, don't be impossible. How can a body be thrown 8 feet across the court and down one story and through a window?
All right. Then in answer to your second problem, a murderer doesn't have to have any connection between two people just because he killed them both. He can kill anybody he likes. This is a free country. Good joke?
Don't make me answer that, Pat, my pet. But that free country idea gives me a thought. I know where two men who never saw each other before can be bosom companions for days.
Yeah, where's that?
In the jury room, that's where. Pat, I'm going down to the municipal building. We've got the names of the two murdered men. If by any chance they served on the same jury at some time, that jury may be all we need to track down a killer. Hello, Drew Stevens speaking.
Drew, this is Bill Morton. Pat told me you were down in the municipal files checking records. Hey, Drew, what do you think happened?
Well, as a guess, I think a fellow by the name of Richard Martin was just murdered.
How could you possibly know that, Drew? We just found the body. Did you kill him?
No, Bill. But he figured to get it. You see, 15 years ago, a jury of 3 men and 9 women convicted a man named Paul Brooks of a killing. Well, 2 of the men on that jury are the ones we found dead in apartment 8G. The third man was Richard Martin. Too bad I didn't know this sooner. I might have saved his life.
If you know that much, where can we find this Paul Brooks?
I know that too, Bill, but this is my case. I've got his name and address from the parole board. He was released on Monday. I'm going to pick him up myself. You'll hear from me as soon as I do.
Okay. But remember, we've got 3 dead bodies already, Drew. The killer might get an idea this is a bridge game and invite you to make a 4.
Yes, I'm Paul Brooks, and I've been going straight. Here's my parole record.
You're going straight, all right, Brooks. Straight to the chair. Pretty stupid of you, thinking we wouldn't trace that jury that sent you up 15 years ago.
Strange coincidence, isn't it, that 3 of them are dead now,
Some coincidence, Brooks. Come on, we're going down.
be a sap, copper. Huh? You can't prove I knocked off those three guys any more than you can figure out how those bodies were able to walk through an army of cops and lay down on the floor for you to find.
I don't know how you got them past the police, but I know you did, Brooks. And I know you did the killing. Yes, I know who killed three men and why they were killed, but I don't know how you got those bodies past the police. I know who and why.
What you don't know is, and how.
Well, here we are, trapped outside apartment 8G again. And when I looked in a minute ago, it was empty again. What are we doing here?
Well, Drew said to meet him here in the hall, Bill, outside 8G. He had a reason.
Hey, Bill.
Hmm? Well, that's Drew's voice.
Bill.
Where did it come from?
Oh, I don't know. In the apartment?
In the apartment, she says. Don't be foolish. He couldn't have gotten in there. Hey, Cassidy! Is Drew Stevens with you?
Somebody come up the stairs in the elevator, Sergeant.
Here we go again.
Hey, Bill.
That came from the apartment.
We got cops all over the building just like yesterday, Pat. It's impossible. Nobody could get in that apartment.
I don't know. If a couple of dead bodies could get in, I guess a live one could slip past the cops. I'm going to look. For Drew.
Hello, kid.
Hello, kids, he says. How did you get in here, Drew?
Take it easy, Bill. Yeah, come on over to the window with me. Hey, Casey.
Did you make it all right, Mr. Stevens?
Okay, Casey. Take this thing back and hook it back on the roof where it belongs.
Hey, right. What is that thing?
I know what it is. It's the slide from the children's playground on the roof across the court.
That's right. But right now, it's hooked onto the railing of the roof across the way. And the bottom of the slide rests on this window ledge. There, see?
Yeah, but...
Well, Casey's on the roof now, pulling the slide back and attaching it to its place up in the playground. Well, I did what the murderer did. Unhooked it first and put it on the railing.
Yes, but he put the dead bodies on it and slid them across the court and down through this open window.
Exactly. And I slid down under my own power. So darn simple to figure out. I don't know why I didn't get it before. Well, after the murderer slid the bodies in here, he replaced the slide and nobody knew how it was done.
Did you get the guy who did it?
That I did, Bill. That I did. And I got a beautiful convicting fingerprint on that slide, too.
How do you like that? Just because you took a ride on a slide, a killer is going to take a walk to the chair.